Hi everyone, before starting this week, I want to do something new and terrifying, which is offer a giveaway. The Ed Video fundraiser, The Art of the Brouhaha, is coming up on Saturday, November the 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Old Quebec Street Mall, and I have two tickets I'd like to give away to some lucky person or persons that enjoys local craft beer and would like to taste test some of it while helping out the Regional Arts Center financially. So if you would like to attend The Art of the Brouhaha for free, there are two ways to do it. This contest is open to Guelph Politico patrons who have donated to the Guelph Politico Patreon campaign, or if money is tight, the contest is also open to anyone that posts a comment and a rating to the Guelph Politicast iTunes page. Comments and ratings help more people find the podcast. So go to iTunes, search for Guelph Politicast, and rate the podcast, and type a quick comment if you don't mind. The comments do not have to be positive, but it would be nice if they were. You have a week to do this. I will draw the lucky winner on Thursday, November 9th, on the Guelph Politico Facebook page to learn more about the art of the brouhaha, including the brewers in attendance. Go to edvideo.org/events. Thank you so much. Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today I talk to Emma Rogers, campaign manager for the United Way of Guelph, Wellington, and Dufferin. Since Halloween has been over for a few hours now, we can now look forward to the next great celebration, which is Christmas. Although the holiday season marks a chance to raise a glass of cheer with families and friends, it's also meant to be a season of giving, and one of the biggest givers is the United Way, who are presently raising funds for their 2017 campaign. The methods and practices of fundraising is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, it's likely that all of you have heard of the United Way, and you probably know that they raise money for charity, but if I gave you 5 seconds, could you explain what the United Way is or how it works? That, I think, is tricky. That's not to say that the United Way is some kind of fly-by-night operator. This organization has been in Guelph for decades, but the United Way is such a universal presence, we just know it's there, and we know it does good work. For example, last year, the United Way raised $3.6 million for 88 programs across 54 different agencies in Guelph, Wellington, and Dufferin counties. United Way is a patron of numerous agencies you'd be familiar with, including Big Brothers and Big Sisters, the Canadian Mental Health Association, the Guelph and District Labor Council, the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition, Guelph Wellington Women in Crisis, Guelph Wellington Seniors Association, Volunteer Center of Guelph Wellington, the Victoria Order of Nurses, and the YMYWCA. They are a who's who of social service and support agencies that help thousands of people in our city and our region, and they all get financial support from the United Way. So having said all that, how does money get from your pocket to the United Way, to all the various agencies and programs? This is a question I was hoping to get answered along with other questions about how the campaigns work, how the United Way decides to allocate funds, and how people can get involved with helping to raise some of those funds. Emma Rogers is the one that knows those answers. She has a varied career working in social services in the private sector, and now she coordinates between all the various players involved in the United Way's annual giving. From the United Way's own programs, to agencies looking for funds, to all the various fundraising initiatives started by the likes of the City of Guelph, the University of Guelph, and the cooperators. Rogers has to negotiate between all of them on a daily basis, so we were lucky she was able to dedicate 30 minutes to do this episode of the Guelph Politicast. So I caught up with Emma Rogers last week in studio. So Emma Rogers, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I think the United Way is one of these things, one of these organizations we hear about a lot, doing good works. But I think It's also one of those things where we don't really know what it is or what it does. So maybe you can just start with talking a bit about the United Way in general and what it does and how it helps the community.
Of course, yeah. I know that's something that we oftentimes hear a lot. People know United Way. They recognize our logo, but they're like, what exactly do you do? We know you do something good for the community. So United Way is a national brand. We have 117 United Ways across Canada. Mm-hmm. But the thing that makes us unique is that we are local. So our United Way is United Way Guelph Wellington Dufferin. And whatever is raised local stays local. So specifically for us, we raise $3.6 million in the community, and we invest it back into our community by funding nonprofits. So here in Guelph, we fund 55 nonprofits. That's from Big Brothers Big Sisters, Red Cross, Hospice Wellington. Really, wherever there's a community need, we want to help support our nonprofits.
Mm-hmm. How do you define community need? Or is that unique to each United Way, or maybe there's something general all United Ways?
Yeah, choice. I think it's definitely specific to cities. So we're anything under that social service umbrella. So we're actually the largest non-government funder of social service agencies. Mm-hmm. So we see different trends. Sometimes it's something to do with mental health. Sometimes it's addiction. Sometimes it's housing stability. It really differs. And we can even see a difference in Wellington Dufferin depending on the year. The need is always different. And we're really lucky that we have a pulse on kind of what's going on every single year.
Mm-hmm. So this isn't set. I mean, although you set new targets every year for fundraising, it isn't set in terms of every year this organization gets this amount or this organization gets this amount or anything like that. It depends on the circumstances and who all is looking for help.
Right. So actually, the one thing that makes us a little bit different from government funding is that we are able to provide more so sustainable funding. So whenever our nonprofits come on board and we fund them, we agree to a 3-year funding cycle because we know that our nonprofits, they need time to create this change in the community. So whenever they apply, we go through a pretty rigorous process of approving our nonprofits that come on board for funding, and then their funding secured for 3 years, and then at the end of the 3 years, they reapply.
Okay. So what does the process look like then?
Of the application?
Yeah.
So we actually have a funding application committee. It's quite large. It's filled with various community leaders, and they assess the need that is in the community and then also the applications that are coming in. So these nonprofits will come to us with an issue that they're hoping to face, and then we go through their application. We go and meet with them. There's a bunch of audits, all that fun stuff to make sure that there is that need in the community, and then also that the dollars that our donors are giving us are being allocated to the proper resources.
Okay. So it's fairly rigorous then.
Yes, exactly. Well, and we definitely take what we do seriously. $3.6 million in our community. We want to make sure that every dollar is going to a place that's going to make the biggest impact in our community. So our committee is absolutely amazing. We're very lucky.
So in terms of, I'm interested in, I guess, how you the committee maybe decides to help, because you mentioned how they look at whether the need in the community, but what kind of need is it? Is it like, Hospice Wellington, something that, gives people, place to stay, or something that, helps people who are afflicted with poverty, or it can even be something like artistic, something that helps people develop art skills, that perhaps there's a program that that offers something to people that they can't get anywhere else, or in terms of, I guess what I'm getting at is maybe how the United Way defines help.
Right. And that's one of the great things about our organization is we don't define it in one specific way. Mm-hmm. So you'll look through the agencies that we fund and specifically the programs. So it's 55 agencies, but it's 88 programs within these agencies that we fund. So for instance, the Go Girls program within Big Brothers Big Sisters, that's specifically helping females in schools. We also help Torchlight, which is helping assist people that are dealing with mental health. The Seniors Association, making sure that they're feeling connected and supported to our community. So we do have a wide range. We do have 3 funding focus areas. But that's the beauty of it, is that we understand that social service is such a wide umbrella, and that gives us the opportunity to help people in a wide variety of ways, which is really great.
I think the other part of this, of course, is the fundraising. As someone who sits in city council and sees the presentation every year that the city does its campaign, But there are also campaigns through the University of Guelph and various businesses, the cooperators, I know. So how does that get organized? Do these places come to the United Way and say, we want to do a campaign, or is it outreach on your part? Saying that you know, obviously the University of Guelph, a huge community that would be lovely to access to fundraise, for example.
Well, I think it's a bit of both. We're really lucky. We've been in the community for 75 years, so we do have a great foundation of workplaces that already run campaigns. A few of them you mentioned, like the University of Guelph, Linamar is quite a large campaign as well. And we're really lucky. So in terms, this is the side that I'm on the fundraising side, is we actually have three people that are on staff that help raise these dollars, but we're very, very volunteer driven. So at the university alone, we have about 180 volunteers, and they liaise with a staff from United Way, and we help develop their campaign. So every campaign looks very unique and very different.
Right.
For instance, the University of Guelph's campaign, you kicked off on September 18th and you closed December 1st. So that's a very long campaign that we're out going in the university, giving talks with agency speakers. But then you have some businesses, the cooperators, that they do their campaign within a 3-week time period. So we're very flexible and we're able to work within workplace cultures, which is why I think it's been such a successful fundraising model. And our bread and butter really is payroll deduction. So it's a lot easier. It's out of sight, kind of out of mind. Instead of having to take a $5 bill out of your back pocket every single week, it's off your paycheck. It comes on a receipt on your T4. Like, it really is such an easy form of giving, which I think the model, that's why it works so well.
That's interesting. I am kind of curious about this in terms of, you know, let's say I have a business of 100 people and we want to get involved. You know, let's say it's a store or something simple like that. And, you know, so I say, you know, I want to give back and I want to start a campaign, but, you know, I don't know how to start. So what, how does that process start? And how do you guys recommend if I were this person?
So what typically happens is they'll reach out, they'll meet with one of our campaign managers, and we go and meet with you, and we basically figure out what works for your business and the culture of giving. Is it that we hold an event? Is it that we do the payroll deduction? Is it more of an awareness campaign? Do we bring you to volunteer for a day? So there really is, we want to make sure that we're working with whatever is happening at these organizations or businesses. So it's really a conversation, and we make whatever work for these organizations. Because a lot of times we hear, guaranteed, if you went into a room of 20 people and you ask them either how they give or who they give to, you're going to probably get 20 different answers. And that's a really nice part, that when we go into these businesses and organizations, is that that's what we can provide to them. And instead of giving to one organization, you're giving to 55 different causes. So it also helps with employees, that guaranteed something's going to resonate them with them, whether it's hospice, we all have to use that. The senior center, our families or ourselves are eventually going to have to use that.
Right.
Mental health, that's all something that people can relate to. So that conversation is usually really easy for us to have with workplaces. And also demographics plays into it too, right? We have that Gen X, those millennials that everyone's obsessed with right now. So we're doing a lot of work with that generation as well in workplaces.
You did a video thing with Intrigue Media about millennials. And
yes, I'm in a car with Rob Murray. it was a fun experience. I've never been driving around while being interviewed, but I think it's a great segment that they're doing. It's a great way to engage. And also, I'm not sure if you've ever met Rob. He's one of the most efficient people I've ever met in my life. So it's a great way for him to get places and get some work done. So
I just thought it was funny that doing research about this and then that pops up, that, you know, we're going to get in a car and drive around and talk about things. And, I mean, I guess there's carpool karaoke, but that seems a little...
This is our Guelph version of that.
The Guelph version, of course, is getting in a car and talking about doing better. So it sounds like, from what you described there, there's an aspect to it of not just the money, but there's also the in-kind, the time, and the commitment from the community as well that that counts as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think that there's a few things that we need to be cognizant of. Is one, we completely understand that even though that we are fundraising, that not everyone, depending on the stage that they are in their life, can give financially. We want to give people other opportunities to volunteer. But also, because we live in such a beautiful community, Guelph is just so aesthetically stunning, mm-hmm. is that sometimes it's hard to convey to people that there actually are these social issues right now. Right. We are dealing with a bit of an addiction crisis right now. Yeah. There is a lot of mental health issues, but because we live in such a beautiful community, that's why it's important for us to go into these workplaces, take people out of the workplaces so that they can see the difference that their dollars are making.
I do wonder about that, because you're right, a lot of these things are hidden unless you, you know, kind of walk around the wrong or the right corner, mm-hmm. as it were, in downtown. You aren't really confronted with the need, mm-hmm. unless you're kind of outside where Ed Pickersgill's doing 40 Baker Mobile from 12 to 3. You don't really see the need. And you're right, it is kind of, you know, we are kind of bedazzled by Guelph and mm-hmm. the giving nature of the community here, that the need does sort of go under the radar.
Yeah. I like to call sometimes Guelph Pleasantville, because I just think it really is. Everyone here is so kind. It's such a community that loves their community, right? We were just talking even about the farmers market.
Yeah.
It's basically like a networking session every single time you go there. So that's definitely a challenge that we face. But luckily, we've been able to create some awareness strategies so we can talk to people and show people a little bit more about what's going on in our community.
You do hear the sweeping music when you walk around.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably just me playing it.
From loudspeakers in your car.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you come up with the goals in terms of the fundraising? Because, you know, again, the need is great. The pockets only go so deep. Mm-hmm. And it feels like there is more demand for more money from more places. So are you... I guess when you're coming up with your fundraising goals, is it are you pragmatic? Are you more, you know, sort of optimistic in terms of what people can give? Because I know the fundraising goals, everyone's, you know, trying to beat mm-hmm. their what they did last year.
Yeah, but exactly.
I'm sure there's a plateau in some of the places.
Yeah, no, we definitely always want to be healthy, optimistic, that's for sure. Even this mm-hmm. year alone, it's funny that you mentioned that. We actually, now that we had our agencies apply for funding for this year, we had $800,000 ask come in above what we allocated in the community last year. So that's always over close to $1 million that we're hoping that our community needs. So we really are, like I said, we're extremely relationship based, and we meet with our all of our businesses in the community before the campaign kicks off, and we just ask them, what's going on in your workplace right now? How do you feel things are going? Do you think we can go over a goal? Do you think it's going to be a little bit less? We really trust our volunteers to help be the judge of that. And after we meet with all of our workplaces, we all come together, our staff, our board, everybody, and kind of develop what we think is a realistic goal that we can hit this year. Because mm-hmm. we also want to make sure that we set our agencies up for success as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the challenges then, that, you know, maybe there are some years where, you know, business goes in cycles, of course, and mm-hmm. maybe seem to be on something of an upswing now, but there will be an inevitable downside. And, you know, what are the challenges there when you kind of come back and this year it's not so, mm-hmm. You know, the sleeves aren't so ready to be rolled up
exactly.
and to get into the social aspect of it?
Yeah, well, especially with fundraising, you always have to be on your toes. And we always call it the campaign roller coaster, because you never know what's going to happen. It's true. We can start off with the best of intentions, but you really have to be flexible, especially because we're such a manufacturing heavy city. Mm-hmm. Things can happen. Maybe there's going to be layoffs. Maybe there's going to be labor strife. Maybe there's going to be a big influx of retirements. You never really know, right? So you do always have to be cautious so that things are going to pop up. We know that every single year something is going to happen. Sometimes they're really great things. Maybe a campaign is going to go over because they hired a bunch of people.
Right.
Or maybe one of those layoffs happens. So you always kind of have to try and expect the unpredictable, mm-hmm. which is you wish you had that crystal ball, right? Every fundraiser wishes they do. So but we're always aware of that. It happens every single year. And luckily, the Guelph community always kind of comes together and makes sure that we make it happen.
What happens if you don't make it happen?
Luckily, we haven't had that problem yet. We try not to even think about it, but I think at the end of the day, we would just have to have a conversation with our funded agencies. But fingers crossed, we just all keep coming together and we don't have to face that problem.
I guess part of that, too, is because, as you're saying, you know, 8 decades in one place doesn't mean something. And, of course, United Way reaches across the country, too. So there is certain trust that I give my money to the United Way, it's going to go to several good causes.
Exactly. And we're so transparent. If you look at our website or the CRA website, we always want to make sure that we're open and honest with our donors about where dollars are going. Mm-hmm. And we want that accessible on every single platform. But there definitely is that relationship piece. And I think that with a lot of businesses, even the University of Guelph, our cultures just align so well. Mm. The Guelph community really wants to thrive. So does the University of Guelph. They want their student and they care about where they are. They're in our community. So I think with a lot of our organizations, there's always kind of that the synergy between what we believe in and what they believe in. So
not to be cynical either, but there is a certain pride in talking about Guelph as a caring community and as a volunteer friendly community as well.
Oh,
so there's a reputation at stake.
I get calls from United Way, not even exaggerating, across Canada, wondering like what is in our water here. Because it's true, it's an anomaly. Like the University of Guelph, I think it's the second or third largest fundraising for United Way across the country, because we hit about 640,000 last year. Our school boards, a lot of the places that we're excelling in, people kind of want to know what's our magic trick, but it really is just the people in this community actually care to continue to live in Pleasantville.
We're talking a lot about the upside and the positivity and the fundraising and how this does help people. I do wonder, too, if maybe you don't deal with this so much, but the issues that drive where the spending goes and the nonprofits that come up to address that need, are you ever surprised by what's needed in the community?
I think that I'm not sure if we're ever surprised, because we do. We sit on a lot of boards. We sit on a lot of community committees and a lot of panels that allow us to kind of see the issues maybe slowly arising as they are. I think that in terms of some of our donors, that they'll see a list of who we're funding and they'll be like, why are we funding that program? And maybe they didn't know that we were having this mental health or this drug crisis. So it's also a great opportunity for us to have that conversation. And I think it surprises people how much need our community actually has, which we were kind of chatting about before.
Right.
But I think in terms of United Way, luckily we're able to stay so informed and keep a good pulse on the community. Nothing usually blindsides us.
Okay.
But I think in terms for donors, sometimes there definitely is some surprise of what's going on in the community, for sure.
It feels like it creeps up on you. And, you know, one day fentanyl is, you know, something that's happening in big cities. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you hear about people in Guelph being hooked and that need arising to address that particular crisis.
What is the OPI crisis we're doing right now?
Yeah.
I think it's one person every 10 hours in Ontario is dying due to this drug crisis.
Yeah.
And it's something that's affecting us very locally.
It's almost hard to wrap your head around, you know, that we have enough people that one person dies every 10 minutes.
I know, it's true. Some of these stats, they're mind-blowing.
Yeah. Let's talk about you for a bit. How did you come to end up at United Way in Guelph?
So I had a very unique buffet of experience that led me here, but I'm extremely grateful for it. I went to the University of Laurier, and I was really, really lucky that I got into the region of Waterloo, and I was in their social service sector. So I originally grew up in Rockwood, when it was a very small town. Literally, it was a stoplight, a pizza store, and I think a videoplex at the time. So I wasn't overly exposed to some of poverty and those things. So when I had the opportunity to work at the region of Waterloo, it really opened my eyes to how people are living and some of the struggles that are happening. And it was a really, really great experience there. I enjoyed it. I was there for a few years. And then I went over to Intrigue Media, which is why you saw I'm in a car with Rob, where I did a lot of work with nonprofits and specifically helping them develop marketing plans. So it was really interesting to go from seeing the people in the community that are really in need to the nonprofits that are helping serve these people and the barriers that they have, from whether it's getting volunteers or spreading awareness or getting those dollars in. It was really, really interesting. So then this opportunity came up at United Way, and I felt like it really blended kind of all that experience. Now I have the opportunity to support these nonprofits so they can support these people that I was working alongside at the region.
Mm-hmm.
So it all kind of came together. I was like, this is a very unique path, but it all came together to help me also work alongside our agencies a little bit better. And then also when we're at our agencies and we're working with those people in need, I've been there and I've experienced it with them. So but I love it. I'm super grateful for the journey that brought me here. That's for sure.
So you bring a fairly interesting experience in terms of as a facilitator. You've worked in sort of all aspects of where of how fundraising happens, from the people who need to the people who give. And that's interesting. Rockwood has 2 stoplights now, I think.
I know. And I think like 5 stop signs. It's a big city now, I swear. I think it has 3 schools now there too. So but for sure.
It's bursting. I did want to talk about or give you a chance to talk about the various campaigns happening, you know, to highlight. I know that this is the season, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in terms of how people can give and where they can give and where can they interact. And
yeah, so there is a lot of the first place I would definitely encourage people to look for is at their workplace. See if your workplace is already running a campaign. And if they are, see how you can get involved. Maybe it's by donating or getting a community or a committee, or helping volunteer. If you don't have a workplace committee and you want to start something at your workplace, you can reach out to us at unitedwayguelph.com or reach out to me directly at emma@unitedwayguelph.com. There's also an initiative called Gen X that's been really big in the Guelph community. So it's also helping people in workplaces, but also taking them out of workplaces. So it's that 20 to 40 age demographic.
Okay.
We're doing a lot of different things in the community this year. So we actually have an event on November 23rd. We partnered with Eagles Flight, an organization here in Guelph that does a lot with experiential learning. So we're bringing in 80 young professionals and 20 community leaders, and we're getting their hands dirty. We're going to bring them through an Eagles Flight experience that also highlights some of the issues that are happening in Guelph. We also have a lot of Gen X presentations that we can come and bring into businesses and talk about millennials and the way they're giving, because there really is a change on how they want to give, why they want to give, how they want to be engaged. And we want to help workplaces succeed in that.
Change from what to what specifically?
Well, I think we're starting to see that millennials, a huge thing for them is that especially tangibility piece. They want to see exactly where their dollars are going.
Mm-hmm.
They want to say and how their campaign's being run, how United Way is being celebrated in their workplace. So it's really great that the trend that we're starting to see is that they do want to get their hands dirty, and they want to see it and feel it and then donate.
Right.
So we want to help workplaces kind of ingrain that in their culture, because they're going to succeed by doing that as well. They're going to be hiring the right people. Because just as much as it used to be, you'd be so thankful you get an interview. And now we're starting to see that if I'm going into an interview, I'm interviewing you probably just as much as you're interviewing me, right?
Interesting.
And they're going to ask you things about your corporate social responsibility and how you're helping create a positive impact. And that's kind of where we can come in, because we can help create that strategy for you. So that's been a big thing that we've been working on top of our workplace campaigns and our individual donors, is helping them celebrate this Gen X initiative.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's accountability or if that's sort of the millennial tendency to, I don't know, to make, I don't want to say make it about themselves, but I'll say make it about themselves. It does. I mean, I see both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a piece of it. They want to feel personally tied and connected to where they're making their donations. So it's great in terms of nonprofit. It's making nonprofits be held accountable and actually show their donors where their dollars are going. So as much as some people might think it's a bit of a pain in the butt, I think it's a great opportunity. So,
well, maybe we can wind down by looking at this from the other end. Mm-hmm. When all the campaigns are done and all the funds are collected, then what happens? How does that go from being in the pot to start going into the various pots?
Mm-hmm. So while our campaign period is actually happening and we're out hitting the pavement trying to raise all these dollars, our fund allocation committee, which I was chatting with you about, is actually meeting right now and reviewing some of the applications that are coming in. So our campaign closes on December 20th. And after that, that's when we're able to start allocating. We know how much we have in this pot. This is how much we can invest back into the community.
Okay. So I guess to put a cherry on it, if check your place of business, or where you're working, maybe even local community groups you're involved in, see if they're doing a campaign, and then go from there. And if all else fails, they can reach out to you to see if they can, where they can help out.
Yeah, of course, we're always willing to have a conversation, have a coffee, and see how we can get people involved in the community.
Okay, well, I won't keep you back from your involvement any longer.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you for coming by. And once again, that was Emma Rogers of the United Way. You can learn more about the United Way at unitedwayguelph.com. And just a programming note that the Guelph Politicast will be starting to leapfrog every other week in terms of its release date. In other words, we'll be taking next week off and coming back with a new episode on November the 15th. The Guelph Politicast will be following an every other week schedule from now until the end of the year, and then we'll be back to going weekly in 2018. Speaking of the Guelph Politicast, that's it for this week. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.